last lecture. So we finished looking at the first implementation, photonic implementation, where we encode the state of the qubits in the path. And we showed how we can represent qubits in some form of interferometer, which we use beam splitters to kind of create more path. And then I showed you how to do, let's say, a bunch of NMR like this and argue that that was not scalable. Now, the fact that we found an implementation which is not scalable doesn't mean that we've totally wasted our time, because we started to use some of the techniques that was demonstrated there for our second implementation, which used a nonlinear media. And then I showed you how this, if you would have a nonlinear media, you can use that to make some control gates. And because we had 1 and 2 qubit gates, then we could do this. And the second, I should have pointed out also that the second implementation used not 1 photon as we had in the first one, but could have 1 photon per qubit, and we used that. And then I argued that it's very hard to get large nonlinear media. And either at the end of this lecture or at the beginning of the one on Monday, I'll show you a few pieces of experiments of people kind of trying to do this by hand, and then you'll see, judge by yourself. Then we started a third implementation, which is going to use the fact that the measurement that we do has nonlinearity, and we are going to use that nonlinearity to create nonlinear gates. And then with these nonlinear gates, I'll show you in a few minutes how to do a control sign gate. Okay? And in the tutorial yesterday, you showed that this circuit here, we call it a non-determinist sign, and it's -1 because we get a minus sign here, but in general, we could have some different phase. But the one we're going to use as a -1 here, how this non-determinist sign gate is implemented with different modes. So we have a state which will come in here, state which comes out, and then we have 1 photon here and 0. We go through this beam splitter, sets of beam splitters and phase shifters with different angles. You've played with this in the tutorial. And when we measure 1 here and 0 here, so if you look at it as a whole, it is linear. But when you project it on 1 photon here, 0 photon here, what you get on the output is something which is nonlinear. But it cannot happen with 100% probability, because we started with lots of unitary, just linear terms. So it does happen, but with a certain probability, and the probability of this to happen in this particular implementation of the sunlight gate is probably 1/4. Okay? So we cannot use this just by itself and say we're done. We'll have to use a few tricks to take it into account that we're now going to do quantum computing with non-unitary gates. And so if you would not know anything about quantum error correction, that you can correct errors 3/4 of the time, then you would have to give up and say, let's go and look at different implementation. If you know error correction, you might not know how to do this, but at least you have a little hope that by controlling your errors in the right way, then you can go and do something. So this is what my task is, to show you how to do this in this lecture. Any question? So we're going to have some steps. So we're going to make circuits after circuits, and I'm going to show you, go through the details of how they work. So at some point, it's kind of, don't get too lost. And then my help, my guide is, I'm going to tell you here, what are the different steps that we need? Number one, we have to show that we have a nonlinear probabilistic gate. And this, I assume that we've done that, right? It is what is here. Number two, we're going to use it to do a C sign gate, which again will be probabilistic. Okay, I'll write this as C sine or sometime control Z. And by the way, what does control Z look like if I give you, if you want to give me the matrix? That's it. It's 1, 1, 1, -1, and there's zeros everywhere else. Right? When you do the control not, instead of having a z here, it's going to be x. So you have two slightly off diagonal terms. Right? So remember this. We're going to use that this in the middle of it. Number three, we're going to use quantum teleportation to change the difficulty of making that gate into the difficulty of making a state. So we're going to do teleportation, we're going to adapt it so that it does something a little bit unusual. So we're going to do this, number three. If our teleportation would work all the time, we would be done, I would finish here. But we're restricted by the set of linear gates in linear optics. So I'm going to show you teleportation, and unfortunately it's not going to work all the time. It's going to work only half of the time, the one I'm going to show you. And I'm going to kind of then tell you, if you modify the teleportation a little bit by adding more modes in there, you can change this to n plus 1. Well, in this case is the n equal to 1 case, but if I use 2 n photons, I'm going to get to this probability n over n plus 1. So you get near 1 if you add many of them, and this is linear, so it's not too much resources. And then you'll say, oh, but there's always a small error of failure. And yes, you'll always have a small error of probability of failure. But then I'll say, wait till week number 3, where we can say that small error, if this error is small enough, we can use quantum error correction, and we're done. Okay? So number 4 will be generalize the quantum teleportation. Okay, so let's go. How do we take this non-deterministic sine gate and we make a control sine gate out of it? So you remember in this implementation, for every qubit, we have two modes. Okay? So I'm going to make circuits, and the usual quantum circuit, every line corresponds to the qubit. But then what I'm going to write right now, I'm going to write the lines which corresponds to modes. So for qubit 1, I have the first mode and the second mode. For qubit 2, I have a third mode and a fourth mode. Okay? It turns out that, and you remember that the zero of the qubit correspond to 0 and 1. And the 1 of the qubit correspond to 1 and 0. So if you want to make a zero state of the qubit, you send the photon in here. If you want to make a one state of the qubit, you send the photon here. You want to do one qubit rotation, you know now by doing phase shifters, phase setters, we can do this. And now we're going to make a control sine gate between this qubit and this one. And here's how we're going to do this. It turns out that the second mode and the third modes don't need to be touched. We don't do anything on them. But this one is going to interact first with this one, and we're going to do a beam splitter with 45 degrees. And then we're going to use our non-deterministic sine gate as the input at the top with some two extra modes, one photon here, zero photon there, and we're going to measure. Okay? And then we're going to do the same thing for the thing that comes out of here. I'm going to measure here, measure here, and something is going to come out of here. And then we're going to go back with another beam setter, which is minus 45 degrees. Okay? And my claim is that this circuit, when you measure 1 and 0 here, 1 and 0 here, gives you a control sign gain. Is it obvious? Yes, no, maybe. Superposition of these answers. No, it is not. And if anybody says to me it is obvious, then they either have read the paper or kind of, I'm going to hire you as a grad student. Okay, so let's see how do we put all of this together. So we start with a qubit, okay, which will be in a superposition of alpha 1 plus beta, alpha 0 plus beta 1. Second qubit will be in a state gamma 0 plus gamma 1. And we will slowly go through that circuit and show how things get transformed. So at the same time, you'll learn how things work. Okay? So the next step, so if we write this, and you have to check that I don't make mistakes. This is part of your task. So alpha gamma 0, 0. Plus, I'm going to try to get the same order as my notes. Okay. So now we're going to write this in terms of modes, because we're going to use these modes and transform them. So this is alpha 0, 0. Corresponds to 0 and 1 for each of the mode. So it's 0, 1, 0, 1. And I'm going to be lazy a little bit. I should really put a little M here for saying that this is the ket for the mode. But because these equations are going to come a little bit long, I'm going to forget about them. So right now, just think that if I don't put anything, I mean the mode. And I'll try to be sure that I put a Q when I think about the qubit. Yeah. So we have alpha delta, alpha gamma, alpha delta is 0, 1, 1, 0, beta gamma is 1, 0, 0, 1, plus beta 1, 0, 1, 0. Okay? Now we're going to go through this beam splitter. Okay? 0 is replaced always by 0, 1. 1 is replaced by 1, 0. So I just expanded this part in terms of the mode. Okay? So I'm going to go through first beam splitter. Okay? So the first part, and the beam splitter is between the first mode and the third mode. So between this one and this one. Between this one and this one. This one and this one. This one and this one. So 0 and 0. No photon comes in through a beam splitter. This one, even if you guys are shy, you should know what you get out of this. So 0, 1, 0, 1. Nothing happens because there's no. So now we have 0 and 1. So you have to watch out for the signs when you go through beam splitters. You remember there's the matrix cos and minus sine theta and sine theta and cos theta. The phase is 0 here, so you don't have to worry about the phi part. So I hope my notes get the sign right, and I think it does. So the next term is minus alpha delta, and there's a square root of 2, because that photon gets split in there, and there's a term which is 1, 1, 0, 0, plus alpha delta over square root of 2 of 0, 1, 1, 0. Okay, so this part gets one goes to the top, and this one remains to the bottom. Beta delta has a very similar thing. I have a 1, 0 over square root of 2. 1, 0, 0, 1 plus beta gamma over square root of 2 of 0, 0, 1, 1. Now, this is the interesting piece. You have two photons, right? You have the photons, and that corresponds when we have the qubit in the state one and this qubit in the state one. The photon is at the top, the photon is at the top. They come through that beam splitter. And we did that exercise yesterday. What happens when we... Okay, there's a sign. And I'll give you a leeway that if you don't remember the sign, you're good. But what happens? As you said, you get 2, 0, 0, 0, and then plus beta delta over 2, square root of 2, of 0, 0, 2, 0. Okay? So you have two photons that go there, and two photons that go there. Okay? And now we're going to go through these non-deterministic sign gates. So you remember how it works. I'm becoming fluent on the manipulation of blackboards. So you remember at the top, if you have, in this line that comes in, if you don't have any photon, and we also always assume that we've measured one and zero here, if we don't have any photons, it doesn't do anything, okay? So for this term, this term, this term, this term, this term, this term, nothing happens. Okay? But when we arrive to two photon that comes here, then you get a minus sign. So this is going to turn into a plus when we go through this. Okay? Now the same thing happens for the bottom part. That when there's zero and one photon, in this case, this case, this case, this case, and this case, nothing happened. And then, but this one goes to a minus sign. So we just flip these two signs. And this is conditioning, again, that we have one zero and one zero. If you get something else when you measure this, then the gate has failed, and it's part of the failure rate of this gate. Now we do a beam splitter at minus 45 degrees. The minus 45 degrees is exactly the inverse of this. So when we go back to here, this will go back to that. These two are going to back to this. These two are going to be back to this. And these two are going to back to this, except for a minus sign. Okay? So if I write this back in terms of qubits, it'll be this part is replaced by a minus sign. Okay? And this is showing that this gate, when these things click at 1 and 0 and 1 and 0 here, you've done and control sign gate. As that's why I asked you here what it was, so that you don't invent the control sign gate that it matched the result, but you knew what it was. When you have 1, 1 here, you get the minus sign. And therefore, by this nonlinearity, makes the control sign gate. And you know how to, if you prefer to have a control knot, what do you do? Remember, this is a Z operator. How do you change a Z operator to an X operator? LMR. So you could do an LMR in there to make this look like a control knot. If you really like control knot, but me, I like control Z.
This whole setup looks very similar in the qubit 1 and 2. So I don't really see at what point is it being determined that which qubit is a control and which qubit is being switched.
That's a really good question, and I'm going to use this in a few minutes. But because you asked the question, I'm going to answer right now. If you look at the control knot, you have something like this. Right? So this is the control knot gate. And indeed, it distinguished the control and the target. But in the control sign gate, it doesn't distinguish between the control and the target. So if I have my qubit and I say I've done a control Z like this, this is equal. To this, for that gate. Yeah? So it's the same. And that's why, and that was a very good observation. And we're going to use this in a few minutes, the fact that a control Z can be done in one side or the other. OK? Now, what is the drawback of that gate? I've repeated it enough time. Probability of this is a quarter. So the probability of this is a quarter. And we have to have this at the same time, so it's a quarter. So this success probability is 1/16, which is not high. Every time you do a control knot, you have 1/16 chance of getting the result that you want. And what we're going to do right now is show how to catch up, but find a way that this doesn't kill you. We are going to do this using teleportation. Okay. Did you see a circuit which does quantum teleportation? Yes. So we're going to use this. And now I'm going to do it a little bit more tricky. I'm going to do two teleportations. So our goal is to make a control Z. And I'm going to do it in a very funny way. And you'll say, I must be masochist to think about doing it this way. I'm going to do two teleportations. So these little things here means that I made a Bell state, and I made the Bell state, which is 0, 0, plus 1, 1. And same thing here. So I'm going to add extra modes, OK, so that I can do that teleportation. So obviously, you remember that when you do quantum teleportation, you start with your qubit. You make a Bell state. Then you make a Bell measurement. OK, of the first and second qubit. Then depending if you get beta 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, or 1, 1, you're going to make a different gate. So if it's 0, 0, the state is going to appear here. If you do 0, 1, you have to do an x, but not the z. 1, 0, you have to do the z, but not the x. And 1, 1, you have to do the x and the z. So this is the circuit of the quantum teleportation that you've seen. Okay? Now, I do a second one. So everything is equivalent. And I do my control Z, or control Z, depending if you are in Canada or in the US. So you do the control Z. So what's the point of all of this? Now I'm going to do something which is a little bit tricky, a bit funny. I'm going to put a control Z here. I'm going to put another one here. Okay? So if I do two control Z, what happened to my state? Nothing. I multiply the minus one twice. But this is a beautiful idea. Because I'm going to shift things. Doing twice the same thing, turns out that it gives you an advantage. I'm going to think about this part here. OK? As a new state preparation. Okay? And the new state operation is take these two Bell states and make a control Z. And then I'm going to take this part and see what happens to these corrections when I conjugate them with a control Z. So you remember this idea of conjugation. If you have an operator, you conjugate it as operator O, you conjugate it by U, it's U, O, U dagger. Turns out that U dagger is equal to U for Z. So this is conjugating these. So let's see what these operations are. I'm going to write this here one by one. Well, definitely if we get 0, 0 here, and then here we have the same thing we have to look at. We have 0, 0 here. We don't do any corrections. Then we have a control Z and a control Z. They cancel each other. You haven't done anything. You got the right answer. So that one was easy. Now let's look at times when, let's say we have a Z here. So if we have something which looks like this, Z, control Z, control Z, what is the correction? So this commutes with this. So you can flip it. This control Z disappears, and you have the same correction as what you had before. Okay, so if we have this or this, we don't make any difference. So now we have to look at what happens when we set an edge. Oh, and I should point out that, oh, you guys, we're not awake. Right? This should be a Z. Okay? So if there's only a Z here, or a Z there, or a Z here and there, we don't have to worry about it. It's the same correction. But now we have to look at what happens if it's an X. So what we're interested in is what happens if we have here. So what does that gate look like? So any hint? So this is this gate. This one is okay, so if we multiply this by this one, we'll get a minus here. And you multiply all of this there, and what you're going to end up is something which looks like this. Okay? And if you've played with tensor product of polymatrices, you'll say, this looks like a sigma x because it's the off-diagonal terms and there's a sign there. So this turns out to be x tensor z. So x for the first qubit and z for the second one. And you kind of can see this. So this is a control gate. So the x will not change. So you land up there. But as the x applies something on this qubit, it's going to change the 0 to a 1. So you'll apply the control Z at the wrong time, at the 1 instead of the 0. So it's going to induce a Z there at the wrong place.
I think that middle matrix is it should be a not in the top left.
I put a control not instead of sigma Z tensor 1. You guys should be... Aggie is... Thank you. So this thing here should be sigma z, or sorry, x tensor 1, which is that gate. What does it look like? X tensor 1. So x is the off-diagonal term, and then the tensor 1 makes it a little 1. So it should look like now with this, it makes more sense that these things get there. You get similar type of things here, but the minus are at least. Thank you. I could have said, I was just checking if you guys were awake, but. Okay, So when we have an x here, we can, the change is that instead of doing only an x here, we'll do an x and a z. And the important point is that this operator, although it looks like a two-qubit type of operator, it's two single-qubit gate. You can do this by doing first the x and then the z in there. So, and we know how to do the single-qubit transformations. So we're good. So we have this one. And now we have to, the only one which is left is what happened when you have an x here. And the brilliant idea, or the brilliant observation that this thing is symmetric and that a control knot this way is equivalent to a control knot, a control z this way is equivalent to a control z this way, I'm going to use it here. So I could flip these two. And this is exactly what we've done, but kind of the other way around. So instead of having x times z, it'll be z times x. So the correction here will be this. Okay, and I'm going to put an x here saying that we can either leave these things there or we can make them disappear and we do a different transformation. Okay, and so in this way, then the transformation that we do for the teleportation is something we can still do. So this is good. Okay, so we can do that. And we've transferred essentially the control Z, which was at the end, to the state preparation. So have we done something clever there? And I'm going to claim that the answer is yes. It is a clever trick. And here's the reason. If we do the gate as we had started here, just the control Z, when it fails, we corrupt the quantum information. And we cannot recover from that. But if we do it here, we're just changing an initial state that we can check. So if this control knot fail, we can say, OK, we stop and we try again. And then when we have the right state here, then we use it to do the quantum teleportation. OK, so you change the difficulty of making a gate, which when it fails, you corrupt the quantum information, into the difficulty of making a state that you will use for the teleportation. And the important point is that you know when the state preparation fails. It fails when these things don't click at 1, 0 and 1, 0. So you know that the thing has failed. So then you say, I'm not going to use that state to do the teleportation. And then you try again. Okay? If that gate fails, then the probability of success as you apply many of these gates, will go down exponentially. But if it fails here, it's just a polynomial of trying to make the state again. And then you're good. OK? So now you should have got the idea of this linear optics quantum computation. And now you should also, the interesting point is that you've learned that teleportation is just not the idea of moving information for a Star Trek type purpose. For quantum computation is a very useful thing, that you change your resources of doing something to something else. Yep?
It seems to me, so we are trying to implement a CZ gate, which is a two-qubit gate, which is just a C0 gate up to some single operations, which creates entanglement. But here we are using entanglement as a resource to, so I don't see how we'll get those entanglement in the teleportation case without first implementing. It seems to me a circular thing.
Very good question. And my next comment is, I told you, let's do the teleportation. And now I'm going to have to show you how do we really do this. How do we create these states, OK, with linear optics? So very good point. So let's go and look at this. How do we do the quantum teleportation. So I'm going to show you a circuit. And then you realize it's pretty easy to create entanglement of photons. Mm-hmm. And you can do it with these beam splitters. Because you remember that when you take one photon that comes here and zero photon here, then you get 0, 1, plus 1, 0. So that answers. By linear optics, you can create that resource. Now there's a theorem which says that you cannot measure all Bell states just with linear optics. And I'm not going to go and show you the theorem, but just take it for granted. So it seems that it would not work there. So I'll show you the first step, how to do this, how to create the teleportation. It won't always work, but then you'll get the idea, and then I'll say, by generalizing it a little bit, then you can get nearer and nearer to one. You'll never get to one, but you'll get near enough. Okay. So how do we do the teleportation? You'll have your two modes of your qubits are coming. As over there, the first mode, the mode number two, you're going to forget about it and just make it go straight through the circuit. And then you're going to, again, start with modes. Mode one, mode two, mode three, mode four. You have one photon in the third mode. Here you'll have a superpositions of mode here and there, depending on what is the state that comes in. And then you're going to do a 45-degree beam splitter. And I can tell you, by the end of this lecture, you'll be specialist of seeing photons coming through beam splitters. We're going to take this one. We're going to make a 45-degree beam splitter also. And then we're going to make a measurement. We're going to make a measurement here. What comes out here. And then there'll be a correction. And here, we'll call it C1, okay, which is equivalent of these two. I put two lines here just for simplicity. Right now, I'm going to put only one. Okay, so this is my setup of teleportation. The second mode of the qubit goes straight through. And the state which came here should come back here. And then this is the top qubit, so really you should flip them when if you want to kind of keep the same order. But here it is how it works. So what I want to do is just go through that circuit, show you how it succeeds and where it fails. So we start with one, the qubit in terms of the modes, not in terms of the qubit state. So this is the qubit state, but if this is one qubit state, the zero, this is the one of the qubit state. But when I put this like this, I re-talk about the modes that are coming in. So I should put a little M there. Okay. And then 1, 0 for mode 3 and 4. And then we go to the beam splitter. Okay. And you should know what happens to this when you go to a beam splitter. And the answer is, and you guys should know this. Okay, and then we go to the second beam splitter. The second beam splitter is between mode 1 and 3. Okay. So let's write this at length. The square, 1 over the square root of 2, we try not to alpha 0, 1, 1, 0. This is the part here and here. Plus beta 1, 0, 0, 1. Plus beta 1, 0, 1, 0. Then we go to the second beam splitter. And we get something of the form, I'll put to a factor of 1 over 2. Then I have to put a square root, so I don't have to carry the factor of square root everywhere. So I've made this term should be 0, 1, 0, 1. It is this part which goes with this part. And then this part with this part is 0, 1, 1, 0. So this one is 0, 1, 0, 1. Again, you guys, I'm expecting that you keep me straight, and I nearly failed there. So square root of 2, there's zero mode, and no photon here and here. Go to the beam splitter, you get the same thing, alpha 0, 1, 0, 1. Okay, this one, 0 and 1, then it gets split. So we get minus alpha 1, 1, 0, 0, plus alpha 0, 1, 1, 0. And then we have the beta part, 1, 0, and this is plus beta 1, 0, 0, 1, plus beta of 0, 0, 1, 1. And then you have the last term, 1, 1 going to beam splitter. And again, as I keep telling you, you know what this gives you. Okay. And then we go and make a measurement. And then we're going to make a measurement here. We're going to call this R1 and R2. And this is what you will see. If R1 is equal to 0 and R2 is equal to 1, so this is the first and the third mode, we get 1 and 0, or the 0 and the 1. This is the case here, 0 and 1. You get alpha this part, and you get beta from here. The state that will come out here before the correction will be 1 half of alpha 0, 1 plus beta 1, 0. Okay, the second measurement is when you have R1 is equal to 1 and R2 is equal to 0. R1 is equal to 1, R2 is equal to 0. And what do we get there? Somebody? Can somebody make a guess? So it is this part here. We have 1, okay, for the first mode, and 0 for the third mode. There's a minus sign there, the factor of 1 half. We get minus 1, 0, plus beta 0, 1. Okay? Then there's a case where R1 is equal to 1. Oh, sorry. R1 is equal to 0, R2 is equal to 0. And it turns out, so this is this case here. Okay, or this here. So you get something which looks like alpha 1, 1. Okay? Which is good, that if you don't measure your photon here and here, because we started with 2 photons, you better find them somewhere. And here they are. And then there's also the case of R1 is equal to 2, R2 is equal to 0, or the other way around. R1 is equal to 0, R2 is equal to 2. And what you get in that case is 0, 0. So you get something which is 0, 0. And because you've measured your 2 photon here, they shouldn't be there. And if you find some there, then you've created energy, and you're a lucky person. You found that the laws of physics are not conservation of energy are not obeyed. So turns out that when these things happen, that's where the teleportation fails, because you've projected in either the 1 state, that's why for alpha, or projected in the 0 state, or that thing. So this one, failure. But if you get this, then you've succeeded. In fact, when you have 0 and 1, then you know that you have exactly the state that you were supposed to teleport. And if you get the other 1 and 0, you get nearly the right state, except that you need to flip the modes and do a x rotation and do a z rotation, which is one of the correction that comes in, equivalent to one of those. Okay? So when you get 1, 0 or 0, 1, your teleportation succeeds. And what is the probability of success? Well, this is the amplitude is 1/2. Probability is the square of that, it's 1/4. And when this happens, it's 1/4 also. So you have a probability 1/2 of success. Okay. And when it fails, because I have probably 1/2 of failure, then you're stuck. But when you're stuck, just remember one thing. What is the error, the failure mode? It's a projection in the Z basis. And this is a very specific type of error model. And if we would have done week 3 before doing this, I would tell you, let's go and do some error correction. And let's correct for this. Because it's a very peculiar error model. It's a projection in the basis, and we know when the error occurs. And in general, when you do quantum computing, you don't know exactly when the error happens. So you have to make a little bit more work to do error correction. But this is a specific error model. Maybe in week 3, we'll come back and say, I'll give you a problem of saying, if we have this error model, give me a code which corrects for this. And it turns out it's a very simple code. You just need 2 qubits. But we won't go there. So if this would probably probability of success 1, we would have the answer there. But it is not. So what we want to do is to improve this so that the probability is better than 1/2.
So just to clarify that, in the very last step, when you have made the measurements R1 and R2,
yep.
You are doing the next step classically, right? You are as in.
So the answer is yes and no. What I do classical is that I have a classical bit of information. I get 2 bits of information, which tells me, in fact, because it's 1, 0 or 0, 1, this is only 1 bit with parity. I get this information, and then I do a quantum gate, an X gate or a Z gate.
Yes, so as in you trigger that quantum gate using some classical information.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. Okay? And when I don't get the right result, then I got a failure. So for the next 2 minutes, I'll show you how you can improve this. So there's I'm going to give you a paper which shows you what is the next gate that we can do. We can generalize this teleportation. Not by using only 2 of those, but using 2n of these ancilla that comes into teleportation. Okay. Now, remember this. A 45 degree change the state 0 to the state 0 plus 1. So it's a little bit like a Hadamard, right? Hadamard looks like 1, 1, 1, minus 1. And minus 1 is e to the I pi. And it turns out that this is a little bit like a discrete Fourier transform. So the generalization of the teleportation is to increase the number of modes here, make some gates, and instead of doing this Hadamard there, we do some type of Fourier transform in the higher dimension. And if you do this, then the probability, as I mentioned before, goes like n times n plus 1. So for the case that we had here, we had 2n photons for n equal to 1 as the extra mode, we get probably 1/2. But if I use 4 photons, I'll have a probability of 2/3, and then 3/4, and then it goes up.
And so extra resources you need is 1 beam splitter per pair of photon, and finally, some sort of Fourier transform.
That's it. So maybe I will use take the opportunity of using this thing. And if I'm lucky, the magic is going to happen. I'm going to show you the circuit of what it looks like. And if I write it down, there's many, many lines. If I'm lucky, this thing is going to work. If I'm not lucky, I'll make you do a... Okay, I am lucky. I spoke too fast. Okay, so this is the generalization for four photons, theoretically. So you start instead of having only two to do the teleportation. And the angles here are beam splitters with given angles. You put two of those, you entangle them the way we mentioned. You do some control sine gates, and then you do this F3 Fourier transform that I mentioned. My finger is not. Oh, I go this way. No.
Good luck. Stick there. Right.
Ah. Need a small hand. Okay, the transformation of this is given by here. In the case that we had, that I showed you, we had only a 2x2 matrix, and this phase was e to the I pi, and here you get fraction of 3, because it's the Fourier transform for 3. So with this, you can improve having a probability which is 2/3 instead of 1/2, and then you can look at this and generalize it for the case of more qubits. Or more modes, and make the probability higher. Okay, so that brings me to the last part here. So we started to show that we had a nonlinear probabilistic gate, that we used it to do the control sine gate, which is here. So showed you that it worked, right? But it was probabilistic. So how do we catch up the fact that it makes errors? We use teleportation. And change the complexity of making a gate to the complexity of making a state. Unfortunately, if you would be able to do full quantum teleportation with linear optics, we would be done. But life is not usually as easy. So it didn't succeed all the time. And I gave you a hint without going through all the gory details about to generalize it. So this, you can make it as small as possible, as small as you want. And then you lose one last piece. In quantum error correction, there is something called the accuracy threshold theorem, which says if the error rate is smaller than a certain number, then you can implement error correction, and the errors in your state preparation or your gates can be controlled so that you get a result which is reliable at the end of your computation. So you would use that extra baggage on all of this, and we'll see some of this in week number 3. Okay, questions?
Your diagram of the circuit, it has the non-deterministic non-linear operator there.
Yeah.
Is that probability included, the fact that you're going to have a 1/4?
Yeah, so you. Oh. Sorry. It doesn't. Because you remember that this is a state preparation for the teleportation.
Right.
So if it fails, then you start again. You've not corrupted your information. The probability n over n plus 1 is only when this has succeeded. Then you start to act on it with this Fourier transform.
This diagram is just to produce a Bell state.
This is to do the teleportation.
Okay.
So the whole thing is a teleportation. And this is the piece which is a little dot is the equivalent of doing the Bell state. So the idea is to generalize the Bell state, not to have only two modes, but to have 2 to the n of them.
But it will still be a two-qubit bell pair?
No, it will be 2 to the n entangled, mode entangled state. Okay? So maybe I can go here next one. So usually we have teleportation as you have your state here, you do a bell pair here, and then you make a measurement here and control this, and then your state comes here. There's a way to generalize teleportation instead of using only two of those. Instead of beta, I'm going to call it gamma, state of force state. And then you are going to start with here. And then you're going to make a measurement which is equivalent to the Bell measurement, but with four modes instead of two modes. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have a correction. And then your state is going to end up there.
Right.
In most implementations, you might not want to use more bits to do the quantum teleportation. And the reason, so you might say, why do I want to do this? And the reason is because with linear optics, only with phase shifters, beam splitters, and measurement, I cannot do the quantum teleportation exactly. And this is a scheme. So let's say this is algorithm number one. This is algorithm number two with more bits. And I'll have another one. Instead of four, I'll have six. And the probability of success increases by making this algorithm slight, increasing the number of modes. OK?
Yep.
Nope.
I should have asked this a couple of lectures back, but do we have reliable single photon sources and detectors?
Really good question. So the answer is not today. We don't have ideally, and this is not that different from any implementation of quantum information processors. We never have perfect state preparation, perfect measurement. Error correction helps us in some direction in there. So today we have sources, single photon sources, by using this nonlinear media that I mentioned in yesterday's lecture. So I told you by with having a Hamiltonian, which was something like a dagger, A1 dagger, A1, A2 dagger, A2, you can produce nonlinearity. You can use this to have to send light to one of these crystals, and there's something called a BBO crystal, barium borate, I think. It interacts with the crystal and emits two photons, which are entangled. And this is what people use most of the time for quantum key distribution, for example, when they want to use entangled photons. If they are entangled and you measure one of them here, then you know that you have a single one there. So this is one way of doing a single photon source. Now you might say, and this seems to contradict what I told you a few minutes ago. The problem is that you don't know when this happens. So for every 10 to the 5 or 10 to the 4 photon that comes in, there's a pair that comes out. So you can only herald it. When you see it there, then you will have it. But sometimes there'll be nothing. So the sources are not perfect. And one of the challenge, okay, of this scheme, it's, and not only that partly F3, but this whole scheme of doing this, I told you, you have a 45 beam splitter here. Means one or two photons are getting in there. In fact, the really neat thing is when you have one photon from here and one photon from here, so you get that minus sign, right? So if the photons are not perfectly timed and their wave function don't match, then this thing is not going to work perfectly. And there'll be a mismatch, and the probability of this is not going to give you exactly the theory. What the theory gives you, there'll be an error that comes in there, and then you hope that the error is small enough, and that the error correction is going to help you to solve that problem. Okay? Same thing for detectors. People have very good detectors. In fact, there's been an incredible amount of progress in detectors in the last few years, people at NIST in Boulder, Colorado, a very good detector which can detect 0, 1, 2, 3 photons. Should have mentioned in here also that when we make these measurements, where did I have my... So we assume in here that we can distinguish between 2 photon and 1 photon. So most detectors, if you would have gone 15 years ago, photon detectors would detect if you see something or not something. So they detect 0 photon or something. Here we need more precision. We have to be able to distinguish between 2 photon and 1 photon and 0 photon. Turns out the scheme doesn't matter if you have 3, but you need 2, 1, and 0. Right? And these detectors, nowadays, it depends which wavelength you look at, but there are some which are the 90, 95, 99%. On Monday morning, I'll put a few transparency or kind of slides with experiments that related to scheme number one, scheme number two, scheme number three, and what kind of things people do around the world related to optics. And when I've done this, so this will be relatively short, then we'll jump in and learn about nuclear magnetic resonance, a different implementation, which is very complementary to this one. Not as many circuits like this. A little bit more physics oriented. You'll have spins. And you can think it points up, it points down. Magnetic field. If there's a magnetic field and you have a spin pointing up and magnetic field in that direction, you'll have to remember your high school physics, which tells you what happens to that spin. And with this, we'll see how we can implement some quantum algorithms. Okay. Good. Thank you.